First question is, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah wa ba'd. If you don't know your whole salah, can you read it off a paper in front of you? The answer is no. This question was asked by one of our sheikhs, one of the imams, one of the two imams of Ahl Sunnah of today, Sheikh Abdul Aziz Abdullah ibn Baz, hafizahullah. And to the best of my memory, and Allah knows best, he said it's not permissible, but rather you should say what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith that's collected by Imam Muslim, which is say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. But you should not read it off a piece of paper. And Allah knows best. Can you highlight something in the Quran to mark a space of where you've been reading, or highlight something in the Quran that will want to look, that you will want to look at, that you will want to look into again? Where can this be found? And if you can't highlight it, why not? To the best of my knowledge, it's permissible to highlight something in the Quran. And I remember when this question was asked by one of the people of knowledge I was with just not too long ago, and they said it's permissible to highlight something in the Quran. Is a Muslim sister allowed to show a kafir non-Muslim woman her hair? The scholars of Islam, they differ on this, if she's allowed. One of our sheikhs, one of the scholars of Islam of today, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he says it's permissible. But it seems as though, and he uses the ayah in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ahzab, I believe it is, وَنِسَائِهِنَّ, and their women. He uses that in the general text. And the other opinion is that they cannot see the aura of the woman, the hair or whatever, because of the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi, because of the verse, the same ayah in the Quran that the sheikh, the first sheikh used, the ayah that says وَنِسَائِهِنَّ, their women, meaning the Muslim women, the Muslim women. And because of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said the meaning of it is that no woman should describe another woman to her husband so that she will describe him as though he's looking at her, as though she's looking at her. So this gives us an indication from this ayah in the Quran and from this narration that those people who are not family members, those people who are not family members that the woman could normally uncover herself in front of, she cannot uncover herself. Meaning she can uncover herself from in front of her father, in front of her mother, in front of her uncles by blood, her uncles by blood, her aunts by blood, her sisters and her own children. And if you could picture three circles, just to clarify it, if you could picture three circles, the largest one inside the other, the largest circle is represents what the woman, whom the woman can uncover in front of. And that's the general public. And that louder circle, that larger circle, is everything, the hands and the face is the limit. The hands and the face is the limit. That's the outer circle. The next circle inside, if you could picture it, are those areas of her body that she can uncover in front of those people we mentioned, like her mother, her father, her brothers, her sisters, her maternal and paternal aunts and uncles. And the smaller circle, which is the last, she can show everything, which is only to her husband, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, and he is the one we seek for assistance need. I need to know if you are married, and how many wives do you have? I know this is a fake question. This is not a real question, right? Somebody's playing games. I'm not going to answer that one. How does one give dawah to a group? No, I'll go back to that one. I'll go back to that one. I need to know if you are married and how many wives you have. Yes, alhamdulillah, I am married. I have two wives. I have one wife who is presently in America, inshallah, but she lives in Egypt. She'll be going back soon. And I have another wife who is presently in Trinidad. And if the next question is, do I want to get married again? The answer is yes. How does one give dawah to a group of children ages 7 through 18 years of age? 7 through 18. Focusing on the application of Islam, one, dress, two, adab, and this is over. Where does Allah come from? And number two, oh, this is the children's question. Okay, the first question, how does one give dawah to a group of children ages 7 through 18 years, focusing on the application of Islam, like dress, adab, etc.? Actually, most of the people that know me well, they know that I try my best to not address issues that have already been addressed in book form or in tape form. I try my best to direct people to books that have been written and or translated from Arabic into English on these subjects. That's one of the reasons why I don't really want to do this lecture that I'm doing today in Asbury Park on patience and gratitude, because the book has already been translated by our Sheikh, Sheikh al-Islam al-Thani, the second Sheikh al-Islam, Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, and Sister Njiri upstairs knows that's the reason. Anyway, there's a book that is written, or that is actually a transcription of some lectures by our noble Sheikh and scholar, Sheikh Abdul Aziz Abdullah Ibn Baz, that we have in the bookstore, as you can see Tariq about, inshallah, which is called Advice to what? Tariq? You don't know yourself?
Which one?
By Sheikh Ibn Baz, Advice to... It's the book by Sheikh Ibn Baz, you got it in the bookstore. Not by Sheikh Ibn Baz, on Dawah. La ilaha illallah. Well, anyway, advices regarding dawah. And the Sheikh mentions it's a very beneficial book. If you get that book, he'll give you some ideas on how to give dawah. It's very comprehensive, alhamdulillah. But in a nutshell, you give dawah to children the way you would give it to the adults, except you do it on their level. That's it. Then the children, I think this is the children's question on the back. Where does Allah come from? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. I know that this is a child asking this question, but the parents should tell the children that there are some questions that we shouldn't ask, and this is one of them, because Allah has no beginning, He has no ending. We say that Allah is unique and He is one. He is the one who is eternal, the one who is independent, the one who has no beginning, ending, the one who begets not, nor is He begotten, and there's nothing comparable to Him. So we should refrain from asking, where does Allah come from? Number two, how did Allah get up into heaven? This is also a question that we should not allow our children to ask, and we should not ask this question ourselves. We should not ask how. It is a part of our beliefs that we don't ask how. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained to us from the revelation that he received, Ar-Rahman wa ala al-Arsh istawa, Allah the Beneficent is over His throne, and His throne is above the heavens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't ask how did Allah get in the heavens, because Allah is not in the heavens. Allah is not in the heavens. Allah is not in the heavens, because the heavens are created, and Allah is not in His creation, nor is His creation in Him. Allah is above His throne in a manner that befits His majesty, His sublimity, His transcendency, His magnificence. And His throne is over water, and that water is over the seventh heaven. Allah is over the heavens. He is not in the heavens. And we say Subhanallah. And we don't ask how, as one of the great scholars of Islam of the past said, عَلَى اللَّهِ الْبَيَانِ وَعَلَى الرَّسُولِهِ الْبَلَاغِ وَعَلَيْنَا التَّسْلِيمِ. It is for Allah to send down the revelation, which is explanation. It is for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the messenger, to convey that message. And it is only for us to submit to that message. We don't ask how. وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانِ. When making salah, if a cat walks in front of you where you prostrate, does it cut your salah? The answer is found in the text of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, إِذَا صَلَّ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلَا يُصَلِّي إِلَّا إِلَى سُطْرَةٍ وَلْيَدْنُوا مِنْهَا أَوْ كَمَا قَالُهُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. He said, when any of you makes salah, then he should not pray except he's in front of a sutra, and he should get as close as he can to it. And there are many other narrations that talks about putting a sutra in front of you. As for the cat does not break your salah, but you should not allow anything to walk in front of you. If a child, a toddler, a cat, or anything walks in front of you, even though the cat does not break the salah, because the only thing that will break the salah is a black dog, a donkey, or a woman who has menses, and a woman who not has menses, but a woman who has reached the age of menses. And by the way, this is not to, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam put the woman in this category of three, it is not to demean or debase the women being put in the same sentence as a black dog or a donkey, but rather this is from the hikmah or the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for a cat, the cats intermingle with us and we intermingle with them, and they are creatures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has determined by His decree, and the scholars of Islam are not unanimously in agreement upon this. But the strongest opinion is that a cat, all of it is not impure. The hair, the nails, the teeth, the saliva, there's nothing about a cat that is impure, but still, you should not let a cat walk in front of you. And if the cat does walk in front of you, you should step up as close as you can to your sutra and let the cat walk behind you. Why can't you blow on something hot or on fire? I don't know of any narration, first from the Book of Allah or the authentic Sunnah of Abdullah Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that says you cannot blow on anything hot or that you can't blow on fire. I don't know of anything like this. Any brothers know anything like this? Maybe the person means you can't blow into a vessel, into the food. You can't blow into the vessel, into your container. Maybe that's what you mean, whether it's cold or hot. But the to say we can't blow on something hot or something that's on fire, that's not true. I think there's a misunderstanding. What evidence is given for a sister to read Quran while on menses? Where can it be found? I think the question should be asked in a different way. Where's the evidence that says that she can't read the Quran on her menses? Where's the evidence that says she cannot read the Quran on her menses? When you find the evidence that says she can't read the Quran on her menses, then we won't allow the sisters to read the Quran on their menses. Until you find that, it's permissible for her to read the Quran on her menses. Now, yeah, the brother is mentioning about the ayah in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٌ لا يمسه إلا المطهرون. Surely it is a noble Quran in a book kept hidden. None shall touch it but the pure. But this verse, this ayah is not talking about reading or touching the Quran. This is talking about the angels approaching the preserved tablet in the heavens called Lauh al-Mahfuz. Can you postpone getting pregnant by using a condom? I never heard of a sister using a condom, but if the question is, it's a joke. It's an Islamic joke. It's an Islamic joke. It's permissible for the married couple to make a decision between themselves with the final decision and rule coming from the husband that they're going to use some type of birth control. The scholars of Islam have presented to us from the Book of Allah and the authentic Sunnah those methods of birth control that are permissible, and they have pointed out to us, alhamdulillah, those methods of birth control that are not permissible. It is permissible to use a condom, but as when the man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said that he did not want to get one of his right-hand possessors, one of his slave girls, pregnant, he said, is it possible that I can use al-azl, which is a form of birth control, which is a man withdrawing his private parts from his wife right before ejaculation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that he could do it, but if Allah decrees that they're going to have a child, they're going to have it anyway. And the man went back and he did it, and the woman got pregnant anyway. He came back and told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that his woman got pregnant anyway. And I know of a case personally when I was much younger, where I grew up in Newark, New Jersey, of a woman getting a hysterectomy And a hysterectomy, of course, is different from a salpingo or a phorectomy. A hysterectomy, and she still got pregnant. The condoms, they are used to prevent STDs, and they're used to prevent pregnancy, but a man can still impregnate a woman because that which comes from the size of the condom can still swim, travel into the woman's uterus, and she can become pregnant. So whatever Allah has decreed will happen anyway. Because Allah is fa'alun lima yurid. He's the doer of whatever He wants. If a sitting person leads salah, do the people he leads have to sit too? There used to be a time when they had to sit, and then there came a time in Islam, right before the Quran was completed, that they were told not to sit, that they were told to stand, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. At what age will the people of paradise be? The people in paradise will be 30 years, between 30 and 33 years of age, and this is explained, this is an elaboration of the narration where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, المرء إذا اشتهى الولد في الجنة حمله ووضعه وسنه في ساعة واحدة كما اشتهى. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when a person wants to have a child in Jannah, the conception, the carrying, and the delivery and age of that child will all be done at one time the way they wanted it. And the explanation of this hadith says that in another narration that that age will be 30 to 33 years of age. Is McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken haram for Muslims to eat? The answer is yes. Yes. And so is White Castle, so is Wendy's, so is Arizona, so is Oregon chicken, so is Louisiana chicken, and all the rest of them. And the proof for this is in the Book of Allah and the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the ayah by saying, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالْدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ. Haram for you is those things that die themselves, and the blood, and those things, the pork, all of the pig, all the way to the end of the ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions those animals that have fallen from a height, those animals that were gorged by other animals, those animals that die of themselves, etc. The two conditions for eating from McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken and White Castle and the like is A, if you've determined that those people are truly Jews and or Christians, if you have determined that, because it's not absolutely clear that just because we live in America and this is a Judeo-Christian country, that McDonald's is going to be the owner of McDonald's and the producers of McDonald's and the distributors of McDonald's and the slaughterers, more importantly, of the meat of McDonald's are Christians. They might be Hindus. They might be Buddhists. They might be Jains. They might be Sikhs. They might be Satan worshippers. So A, you have to determine if they are Jews or Christians, and then B, you have to determine if they slaughtered it according to the Quran and the Sunnah, or they slaughtered it according to the way the people of the Torah slaughtered it, or the people of the Injil, that is the books given to Musa, Prophet Moses, and Isa, Prophet Jesus. If those two conditions are met, then you can eat from McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I only know of one Kentucky Fried Chicken in the United States of America that is halal. I only know of one. And that's on Broadway, or Main Street, or Broadway? Main Street, I think it is, or Broadway in Paterson, New Jersey. That's the only one I know that is halal. No. No. It has to be done by hand. For a person who works 9-to-5, a 9-to-5 job, how is the best way to make up Zuhr and Asr Salat? Can they be made up along with Fajr, or do I have to wait till after work and make them before Maghrib or after Maghrib? Allahu Musta'an. The first thing we'd like to say to the sister is that she should sit down with her husband if she is married, and she should discuss the issue of her working. She should discuss the issue of her working. And they should make an active, honest, sincere, industrious attempt to relieve that woman from the workplace. And there's a book that we had, a booklet from the same Sheikh, Sheikh Abdul Aziz Abdullah ibn Baz, hafizahullah, may Allah preserve him and protect him, ameen, that we have in the bookstore again on, the name of it again is, The Danger of Women Participating in the Work Arena of Men. So that brother, the wife of this, the husband of this sister, they should sit down and discuss the issue. They should make the husband as much as they can. They should fast as much as they can on Mondays and Thursdays. They should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve that woman from the work situation, so that she doesn't have to be out there with the men. And this is something that is answered, as we mentioned, by the Sheikh. And for a beautiful explanation of this, if you look in the surah that is called Al-Qasas, which is chapter 28, in the 20s, when Musa was confronted by those two women, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَجَدَ مِن دُونِهِمُ امْرَأَتَيْنِ تَذُودَانِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about Musa being confronted by these two women, and they were watering the flock, and he said to them, قَالَ مَا خَطْبُكُمَا He said, what's the matter with you? قَالَتَا لَا نَسْقِي حَتَّى يُصْدِرَ الرِّعَاءِ They said, we're not able to water the animals until, because those men are watering their animals. They're taking care of their animals. وَأَبُونَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ And our father is an old man. This ayah in the 27th surah of the Quran, and the verses, and the ayahs around 20, it's 22 and 23, this ayah is a clear proof that these women, the reason why they were out in the work field was because their father was an old man, and when Musa found them, he found them away from the men. And he asked them, why are you out here? Why are you out here? Because they were standing off onto the side trying to wait for the men to stop watering and taking care of their animals so they can go out. Why? Because they knew it was improper to work with the men outside. Their excuse was their father was an old man. Their father was an old man. So this ayah is a clear proof that women shouldn't be out there. Now, what happens when the woman is not married? She has children. She has to take care of herself. What does she do when it comes to working and making the salah? She should make the zuhr at the time that zuhr comes in the place that she works. She should ask her employer, is there a place that I can go and make my prayers? And if she just received that job, or she's about to receive a job, she should tell her employer, which he should already be able to see anyway, that she's a Muslimah. He should already be able to see that she's a Muslimah from the way she's dressed. He should tell her, if she's just starting the job, look, I am a Muslimah. I will perform my job to the best of my ability. You will find my performance better than anyone else's, because in Islam, we have to do our best. But I am a Muslimah, and five times a day, I have to pray on time. Is it possible that you can be gracious enough to give me a room, some storage room or something, wherever she works, so that I may make my prayers, and my prayer will only take 5 minutes, 6 minutes at most. If he says this, alhamdulillah, it's a ni'mah from Allah, it's a blessing from Allah. If he does not, then she's going to be forced to find her own place on her own. I'm sure she has to have a coffee break. I'm sure she has to have a lunch break. I'm sure she has to go to the bathroom for the call of nature. If she can do those things, and the reason why we are eating and drinking anyway is to build our bodies up so we can make salah. So if she can do that, then she has to make her prayers. If that circumstance is so restricted that she can't do that, then she is allowed to make her zuhr and her asr, 4 rak'ah zuhr, stand up, make the qama, 4 rak'ah asr, but she should be hating that job in the situation that she's in, and she should be praying to Allah to put her in a situation where she can make her prayers on time. And lastly, she cannot make her prayers with fajr, and she should not pile her prayers up at the end of the day, but rather she should be making that dhuhr and that asr in the time, or at least making the dhuhr and the asr prayer together. She should not be making them up, piling them up at the end of the day. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give all of the women husbands that will take care of them, so they don't have to come outside except for their needs. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the women good husbands, so they don't have to come outside for their needs. Ameen. We ask Allah, give these women good husbands, so they don't have to come outside, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَقَرْنَ فِي بِيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرُّجْنَ تَبَرُّجُ الْجَاهِلِيَةِ الْأُولَى. And stay in your homes, and do not dress and bedizen yourselves with the bedizenment and the clothing of the women of the first days of Jahiliyyah. When was Prophet it doesn't say that. When was Prophet Isa born? It doesn't say that here. Oh, when was Prophet Isa born? Oh, okay. When was Prophet Isa born? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I don't know, but I can check it for you. And the only way that I'll be able to remember is that you remind me. The only way I'll be able to remember to check it is that you remind me. I can check Al-Qasas Al-Anbiya, Stories of the Prophets by Al-Hafiz Al-Alama, Al-Mufassir Al-Muhaddith, Ibn Kathir Al-Dimashqi. Inshallah. I can check it, but you have to remind me. Next question. Are the taking of pictures haram? Answer, yes. Number two, is the usage of a camcorder permissible? The answer, no. Next question. Are you allowed to have a dog or a puppy? The answer is no. Unless that dog is a seeing eye dog and you're blind, and may Allah give you patience for the loss of your eyesight if you are, or unless you have it as a security dog and the necessity for the security has to be valid according to Islam, that you need that dog, or you have it as a hunting dog, like is mentioned in the Quran, for those three reasons, or the reasons that fall under those three reasons, if those reasons are there, then you can have that dog. Just to have a dog or a puppy as a pet, it is haram. Haram, haram, haram. What advice would you give the Muslim youth growing up in America today? I would give the advice to the Muslim youth growing up in today is to obey your parents. To obey your parents. To obey your parents after worshiping Allah and making your worship purely for Him and removing all shirk from your lives. After that, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the children of Israel, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah ordered, made a contract and a covenant with the children of Israel, telling them to worship Allah and to be kind to their parents. So I would tell you to worship Allah and to respect and be kind to your parents. And the parents are going to set the tone of how the youth are going to grow up in America. And they, yarhamakum Allah. And if the child has a parent that is on their P's and Q's, for lack of better words, the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then, and the responsibility of that the parents is to make sure that they grow up in a wholesome environment, and I don't know of any wholesome environments in America, Allahu musta'an, then I would just give advice to the children that they should worship Allah, and they should focus on worshiping Allah, purely making worship for Him, and they should obey their parents. And that's the answer in a nutshell, but of course there's some details. And what is the meaning of dreams, or what are the meaning of dreams? Whenever I have made istikhara prayer, I have a clear dream. Should this be my answer? We don't look for the answer of Salatul Istikhara in dreams. That is not to say that you can't get your answer in a dream. I would tell the sister to come to the bookstore and get to be educated first, to have a career, so when she gets married, if anything happens to her husband, she can still support her family? Or should she first be educated in Islam, in the Hadith and Fiqh and Quran? May Allah reward you. Ameen. May Allah reward you also, sister. The answer to your question without details is, no, it is not more important for that sister to be educated, to have a career, so when she gets married, if anything happens to her husband, she can still support her family, because there's no guarantee that when something happens to your husband, that you had an education, that you can get a job, because there are hundreds of thousands of people walking around America today with briefcases filled with PhDs, and they can't find a job. You should learn about your Lord, and learn about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this life is short, and there's no guarantee that if your husband dies and you had 80 PhDs, that you're still going to be able to support yourself. There's no guarantee. But there is a guarantee that if you believe in Allah properly, and you do righteous deeds, and you exhort one another in truth, and exhort one another in patience, perseverance, that you will see the Jannah of Allah by His mercy. But you will not be guaranteed to see the Jannah of Allah with a PhD in computer science. Does a sister have the right to choose her wali? Does a sister have the right to choose her wali? To the best of my knowledge, she does not. Even though my Sheikh Ghassan Abdul Fattah Ibn Yusuf Al-Barqawi Hafizahullah says that she can, I don't agree, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fasultanu waliyun liman la waliyu lahu," that the sultan or the Islamic authority is the wali for the person who doesn't have a wali, and that's my evidence, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Does a wali have the right to refuse to become a wali for a specific sister if that sister wants him for her wali? I feel that that is discrimination. That you are discriminating. This question is being asked by a sister who I was speaking to on the phone yesterday, and I know that's her, and Allah knows best. And I told the sister that I'm not discriminating by not wanting to be her guardian, but rather the imam of the masjid where she usually attends, and she attends I think this one and that one, has appointed her a wali, and she should go back and see that imam, who is Imam Siraj Wahaj, and that is his job and his responsibility, and I'm not going to appoint myself as a wali, and I don't see that as being discriminatory, because I'm following the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said that the sultan, the authority, is the wali for the one who doesn't have a wali, and he is the one who should appoint that sister a wali if he is not going to take that responsibility himself. And if there's not that sister, then the answer is still the same. What is the proper way to make ghusl after intercourse? The proper way to make ghusl after intercourse is the same way you make ghusl after having a wet dream, or after having menses, or after postnatal bleeding, or for Jumu'ah, or for putting on your ihram, for going to make Hajj or Umrah. Ghusl is ghusl is ghusl. And the way you do it is that you have a niyyah or an intention to make the ghusl. And then you wash your hands after saying Bismillah. And then you wash your private parts with your left hand. And then you make wudu either including your feet or not including your feet. And then you pour water on your head, three handfuls, or letting the faucet or the spigot, if you come from South Carolina, the spigot, you stand under it, and you let the water go over your head, and you drench your head and wash your head and make sure that the water reaches your roots of your head. And then you wash your right side in its entirety down to your feet, and then you wash your left side down to your feet in its entirety, the front part of your chest and your thigh all the way down, and the back, meaning your right side, the entire right side and left side. And you can do this three times or any odd number of times you want to your desire, and you will have performed the ghusl of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam. Number two, what about ghusl when there is no intercourse? I don't understand the question. If you can rephrase it, we can try to answer it. Number three, can a husband divorce his wife if she will not perform for any other sexual act he wants? Can a husband divorce his wife if she will not perform or any other perform or any other sexual act he wants?
A man can divorce his wife for less than that. And that's the answer. A man can divorce his wife for less than that. But I would tell the men of Islam, اصبر نفسك على السنة. Be patient with yourself on the sunnah and treat the women kindly and be patient with her and allow her to graduate to the level in intimacy that you desire. Can a husband put you in iddah in anger and when there are no witnesses? I would like to make a correction, first of all. We please should stop using terminologies that are not found in the Quran and the Sunnah or among the books of the scholars of fiqh. The expression is not put you in iddah. Get rid of that expression. There's no such expression as my husband put me in iddah or I'm going to put you in iddah. This is not found in Islam. The expression should be my husband divorced me or I'm going to divorce you. Stop using the expression my husband put me in iddah or I'm going to put you in iddah. Can a husband divorce a woman in anger when there are no witnesses? A man can divorce a woman in anger or without anger, and he should have witnesses. He should have witnesses. What is the punishment of eating non-halal meat? I'd like to ask the question, what is the punishment for eating haram meat? And that's your answer. I'll say it again. The question is, what is the punishment for eating non-halal meat? And I ask the question, what is the punishment for eating haram meat? And that is your answer. In other words, what is the punishment for doing anything haram? Anything haram. We should not be concerned about what is the punishment, but rather we should be concerned with who we disobeyed. Number 6. What do you do when it's time for salah and you have very bad gas that keeps breaking wudu? You should stop going to Amoco and you should go to stop using that Hess gas. No, I'm just doing that. It's time for salah and you have very, very bad gas. I hope you don't mean very bad as in smell. I hope you mean that it's an Islamic joke, brothers. Come on, brothers. It's an Islamic joke. If you have what is called in medical terms flatulence, which means you have an uncontrollable, you're not able to control the passing of wind, then the scholars of Islam have determined that you make wudu every single time the salah comes in. Every time the salah comes in, not before the time of salah, every time the salah comes in, even if you already have wudu, you make wudu when the time of the salah comes in, and even when or if you break your wudu while you're praying, you will have sufficed. You will have sufficed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. If you are married by the state, but not Islamically, is that accepted? Is that accepted? Is that accepted? It's turned over. And why aren't there... I can't... Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. The envelope had to be... but not Islamically. Is that accepted? The answer is yes. But that's if you got married before Islam. That's if you got married before Islam. If you got married, if you're already a Muslim and you go down to the county clerk's office or whatever, and you got married by that, and you can get married by, according to the Quran and the Sunnah, then Allah knows best if that's a valid marriage or not. Allah knows best. Even though my Sheikh Ghassan says it is valid, I say Allah knows best. Number 8. Why aren't there Why aren't there a place, or should be, why isn't there a place for sisters who are homeless and jobless to stay when coming out of Iddah? Because Islam has never, ever, ever in the history of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam established a homeless shelter for women who have no place to go nor jobs. Islam has an answer for women whose Iddah is over, and the answer is get married or go back to their father's house. That's the answer. The answer is get married. When that Iddah is over, the minute that Iddah is over, go find another brother and get married, if that's what she needs to do. As for shelters and the like, I don't know of this to be in the light of the Quran and the Sunnah, and I believe that if we do this, for women specifically, I'm talking about specifically for this question, specifically for this question, not for women who are homeless for another reason, or jobless for another reason, specifically for this question, when a woman's iddah is over, she should get married. And if we establish a shelter for women for that reason, then we will be circumventing the issue that Allah left, the solution for the problem, which is marriage. And that's one of the beauties of polygyny. That's one of the beauties of polygyny. If you can't find a single brother who's suitable, you have the option, of which the men don't have, of looking towards those men who are married. And this is a solution to a problem. Even though some sisters believe that getting married is not the cure to ills in society, I say to you, as sure as I'm sitting on this floor in this blessed masjid, that one of the major solutions to the ills of society is marriage. One of the major solutions to the ills of society is getting married. Number 9, what is the proper way to perform tayammum? The proper way to perform tayammum, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu anhu and Hudhayfa and some of the other companions like Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhum ajma'in, is to have a niyyah or an intention to make that tayammum, and then to say Bismillah. And I'd like to make a note here. You do not say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim when you make wudu, ghusl, or tayammum. You do not say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim when you make wudu, ghusl, or tayammum, but you say Bismillah. The Prophet didn't tell you to say, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. He told you to say the name of Allah, and this means to say Bismillah. When you have the niyyah to make tayammum, you say Bismillah, you strike your hands against a sandy or dusty or dirt covered area, which can be your wall, which can be your TV. I hope your TV has dust on it, meaning you're not looking at it. Or anything that is dusty. It doesn't have to be the dirt outside. Anything that is dusty. You strike your hands against that, and you blow into them, and then you wipe your face. And then you wipe your hands up to the wrist. Or you can wipe your hands up to the wrist and then wipe your faces. There are no authentic hadith about wiping your hands up to the elbows. There are no authentic hadith of wiping your hands up to the elbows. As Shaykhul Islam, alaykum salam, Shaykhul Islam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah mentions in his book Zad al-Ma'ad and the first volume of the 5-volume set, he says there are no authentic narrations saying that you wipe up to the elbows, and Imam of Ahl al-Sunnah, Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal, also mentioned that, and Allahu A'lam. If a brother is appointed amir of a group, and the majority of the shura has a difference of opinion from the amir, and both are legal opinions, can the Amir go with his opinion, or should he side with the Shura? Firstly, I like to say that there's a book that is written by our illustrious Sheikh, the student of our Sheikh, whose name is Muhammad Ibn Nuh Al-Najati Al-Albani, commonly known as Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani. Nasruddin is not his name, it is his laqab. Nasruddin is not his name, it is his laqab. His name is Muhammad ibn Nuh al-Najati al-Albani, hafizahullah. Sheikh Ali Hassan Abdul Hamid al-Halabi al-Athari, his premier student, has written a book that is translated called Muslim Unity. Read that book, sisters. Read that book, or come to the Aqidah and the Manhaj class. Come to the Aqidah and the Manhaj class here at Masjid al-Muslimin on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, because we are teaching the Aqidah and the Manhaj of the Salaf, and we utilize that book. In that book, it explains what and who is an imam, what or who is an amir, and can you use that terminology? Can you use that terminology? And the answer to the question is, if the so-called amir is knowledgeable, and he has the strongest of opinion, then you go with the person who is the leader. Then you go with the person who is the leader. If the shura has the strongest of opinion, stronger than the so-called amir, then there should be some agreement by the so-called amir that that opinion should be used by the shura, of the shura's opinion, but the decision still rests with the leader. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. What advice can you give to someone who has a child from a previous marriage and the child occasionally breastfeeds? Does this breastfeeding prevent the man from obtaining custody of the child who is not yet 2 years old, which is the limit for to breastfeed? What advice can you give to someone who has a child from a previous marriage and the child occasionally breastfeeds? Does this breastfeeding prevent the man from obtaining custody of his child who is not yet 2 years old? This question needs to be written on a piece of paper along with the rest of the questions that we're not able to answer, and we'll get back to you on the answer to this question. The answer is, I don't know. We'll get back to you if you write it down and give it to us later. Can a Muslim woman show her earrings and wear eyeliner when in public? The answer is yes and no. The answer is yes and no. No, yes to the eyeliner if it is kuhl. Yes, if the eyeliner is kuhl and not mascara. And if she has her eyes covered. And no, she cannot ever, ever show her earrings. She can never show her earrings. It is haram. It is haram, haram, haram for her to show her earrings. Next question. If a sister got her tubes tied, wali'adhu billah, at one time and decided to get it untied, but she's almost 40 years of age, I believe it says, and is having problems with her husband, is it wise to get it done? The doctor says it could be done before I'm 40, which is in June. It would be stupid to do it if your husband was to divorce you. I would say that if a sister got her tubes tied and she decided to get them untied and she's almost 40, I would say, Barakallahu fiki wa jazaki Allahu khayran ahsan al-jaza. May Allah bless you, sister, and reward you, because you would be following the sunnah if you got your tubes untied. What I mean by that is, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he told us to marry the women. He said, Tazawwijul walud al-wadud. Tazawwijul walud al-wadud. Marry the women who are loving and prolific in having babies. Look for those women who can have babies and marry them. Because he said he wanted to be the most proudest of all the prophets on the day of resurrection by having the most followers. As for what the doctor says, I would suggest that you, sister, go to a Muslim woman doctor who you know to practice the Quran and the Sunnah. If you can't, then go to a non-Muslim woman doctor. And as for being stupid, I would say to any Muslim woman who believes that she should have her tubes, that it is being stupid to have her tubes untied if she thinks she's going to get a divorce, I would say that woman herself is making a huge mistake. She should not base the tying or the untying of her tubes on being married or not. But rather she should leave her creation the way Allah created her, which is untied. because she doesn't know what Allah might send her in the form of a pious, righteous man. She doesn't know. And Allahu musta'an. How is a woman without a wali supposed to find a husband? She should go to the imam of the masjid. Number two, is it okay for this woman to go to the imam by herself to talk to him about finding a wali? Yes, it is okay. In fact, it is highly recommended, if not obligatory. Please explain the proper way to go about this. The proper way of doing this is just going to the masjid, saying, I want an appointment with the imam so that I can be appointed a guardian. That's it. Also, if a woman is interested in a man, is it okay to inquire about him, although he has one wife? It is okay to inquire about that man as long as she does it in a manner that is proper, that is modest, and that is free of fitna. Free of fitna. And she should, it's better for her to go to the guardian. As for the woman having a wife already, if she's going to that wife, and she is sure that that wife won't cause any fitna by her asking about her husband, then it's permissible. But she shouldn't get into any long dialogue with that woman, but she should rather go to the guardian. If your child doesn't want to choose Islam and wants to seek elsewhere, what do you do? What do you or I do? This question needs details. This question needs specifics and details. And it's not possible for me to answer this without the details. If one doesn't understand the salah, what can one do? Come to the masjid and learn how to make the salah from those sisters who know how to make the salah. Number three, if your husband is incarcerated, whom may I seek to for guidance? You should go to the masjid and get your Islamic instructions from the masjid if your husband is not able to give you that Islamic education, whether he is incarcerated or not. Whether he is incarcerated or not, you should seek your knowledge at your respected masjid. What is the correct time for a Muslim woman to be in her home? The correct time for the Muslim woman to be in her home is all the time. The correct time for the Muslim woman to be in her home is all the time. The correct time for the Muslim woman to be in her home is all the time, and she shouldn't come out except for her needs, and those needs have been explained by the scholars of Islam. If a man calls the home for business, for example, telephone, can we talk if the husband isn't home? No. And our noble Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd, Hafizahullah, one of the premier scholars of today of Ahl Sunnah, has written a book, and I ask you sisters and you brothers to give us the wherewithal to translate this book into English. It's called Adab al-Hajif, Etiquette and Manners of Using the Phone. If we Muslim sisters have a dentist appointment, and the dentist is a man, and we wear full hijab, what is to be done? I remember my brother in Islam, and his name I won't mention because maybe he won't want me to mention his name, when he was living in Egypt, and they had no women dentists at that time where he was living in Alexandria, Egypt. His wife had to go to the dentist, and she wears full burqa. She used to lift her niqab up to where her mouth was, and the rest of her face would be covered, and he used to work on her. But you should strive to find a female dentist. If you can't find a Muslim woman dentist, and if you can't find a female dentist who is not a non-Muslim, then you go to a male Muslim dentist. And if you can't find a male Muslim dentist, then you go to a male kafir dentist. First a Muslim woman dentist, then a non-Muslim woman dentist, then a Muslim male dentist, then a non-Muslim male dentist, and Allahu musta'an. And your husband or some other mahram should be in that room with you. And if he's not, you should not be there. May Allah relieve you of your pain and get your dentures or whatever someplace else. Is there an easy way to learn Salah? I don't know what way you are using, so I can't tell you which way would be easier. So you have to explain this to Sister Njeri upstairs when you mean by an easier way to learn Salah. Was Muhammad a messenger or a prophet? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam was a messenger and a prophet. He was a messenger and a prophet. How do we know what is the messenger, who is the prophet, and what's the difference? If you come to the class this Wednesday, it just so happens the class on Wednesday, we will be discussing the difference between a prophet and a messenger, and we will also be giving the special characteristics of prophets and messengers. We will be doing that, our intention, as we mentioned last night, we will be doing that Wednesday night, inshallah. It's very interesting that you asked that question. Does the first wife have to say so when the husband chooses another wife? Absolutely not. This is Islam American style. Does the first wife have a say-so? No. The wife has no say-so whatsoever. She has nothing to say whatsoever, but the husband should sit down with his wife and he should hold her hand, he should rub her hand, go get her a Haagen-Dazs ice cream cone or something, you know, take her out for a walk in the park or whatever, hold her hand, and he should say to her, honey pie, pumpkin, sugar cake, or whatever you like to call his wife, sweetheart, you know, I love you immensely, and I want you to be my wife in Jannah, and you have done so much for me, and no one could ever take your place, but I am a man, and Allah has allowed me to get married, or whatever the brothers like to say, to soup their wives up so they can get married. What about dancing in the house for your husband or children? It is permissible, according to the scholars of Islam of Ahl Sunnah, and one of our sheikhs, Al-Muhaddith, Al-Usuli, Al-Faqih, who lives in Egypt, Mustafa Al-Adawi, Hafizahullah, he has stated in one of his books called Ahkamun Nisa, that it's absolutely permissible for the woman to sing and entertain her husband. And only her husband, of course. Likewise, it is permissible for the wife to learn belly dancing or any other types of dancing that is alluring to the husband and entertain her husband. Absolutely. And it is also absolutely permissible for the man to do that, to dance for his wife. I mean, I remember our brother in Islam who just left my house, by the way, alhamdulillah, Abu Osama. I remember one time on a tape on how to be a better Muslim husband, which all you brothers should get and listen to. He was talking about Mike Tyson one time before he was a Muslim. Alhamdulillah, he's a Muslim now. He said, how can you brothers allow your wives to look at Mike Tyson, that big bummer head, Mike Tyson with his muscles rippling? He said, what you should do is you should get some Vaseline or some baby oil and get yourself some trunks and you should slick your body down and you should do that for your wife. So this is what the brothers should do, inshallah, and Allahumma ta'ala. The husband can sing to the wife too. Now, what about listening to music? Listening to music can be explained in the book that's in the bookstore here, in the Strictly Sunnah bookstore here at Masjid al-Muslimin, called The Legal Verdict or Ruling Pertaining to Music and Singing. The answer is there. We do have some more books, right? The answer is there in that book. And the answer is, it's haram, haram, haram. Jazz, hip-hop, gangster rap, modern classic, ancient classic, R&B, pop, country and western, which I don't think anybody in this message would listen to. All of it is haram. Gospel music, haram. I don't know. Some Muslims listen to gospel music, unfortunately. Waliyadu billah. I know some Muslims that listen to gospel music. As for nasheeds, the so-called Islamic songs, our Sheikh
Muhammad ibn Nuh al-Najafi al-Albani, حفظه الله, commonly known.